Thanks, Megan. We're now going to have a question and answer period. There will be two roving mics coming around to the audience. Please raise your hand if you'd like to ask a question, and I'll select as many people as time permits. It would be greatly appreciated if you could keep your questions brief in order to allow others time to ask theirs. And if we find that you do go over time, I'm really sorry, but I will have to stop you. And of course, we'll make allowances for those for whom English is not a first language. So
our first question, over there, that man over there.
I'm afraid of mics, so. My name is Mustafa, and I'm from Afghanistan. First of all, I would like to thank all of you guys coming here and supporting a brave woman as Malala Jan and support her. I was 9 years old when I moved out of Afghanistan, and I lived in Pakistan, I lived in Russia, and then I came here 2 years ago. But I like history, and I read a lot of Afghanistan, and I know that with the Second World War, we had Malalai, another really famous woman in Afghanistan. And I wanted to ask you, when your parents were naming you, did they knew something about another Malalai? Because you are more, I think, more brave than the Malalai that we had 300 years ago. Please. That's my question.
I think that, first, thanks a lot for your support. As always I'm saying, as a war generation of our country, our responsibility is a lot. In the meantime, our unity. As always, I'm saying that this unity of intellectuals, democrat, justice-loving people of not only our country and every country, especially war countries, gave more opportunity to these fundamentalist killers to continue to their fascism. Regarding your question, my brother, I think, as Afghan, you know also that we can find so many Malalais in Afghanistan that because Malalai of Maivan inspires all of us. As always, I'm saying that between me and Malalai of Maivand, as my Afghan, my supporters, they compare me with them, is like they are in the sky, we are in the earth. And we are, as always, I'm saying, I hope as long as I'm alive to be one of the good or best students of them, because we are following their path for democracy, women's rights, human rights. Thanks a lot for your solidarity, support.
There was a question from a woman back there in the green. I think she was in the green. Yes.
Thank you very much for the audience, and thank you very much, Malalai, for coming here and for voicing the problem of Afghanistan. I, as a dual citizen of Canada and Afghanistan, I'd like to ask you an opinion that I heard a lot back in Kabul from all the educated women, saying that we all agree with Malalai, but why would we use our voice in a way that would make us expel? And I agree that everything you say, I agree. I lived the war, I've been there, but what I say is that wouldn't that be a better way that people like you stayed and fought, but a bit more of not critical language? What would be your opinion over that?
You know, seem like other politicians in Afghanistan, let me tell you, most of them, not all of them, as always I'm saying in the parliament also, you can see that there are few Democrat and real representative, men and women. But most of them not real representative, not only in parliament. Today, three forces in Afghanistan, judicial, executive, and legislative bodies infected with the viruses of these fundamentalists, who not only they believe in women's rights, human rights, these values, also they betrayed a lot in the past, and still they are betraying. There are this kind of misogynist, terrorist people that they don't know the meaning of diplomacy. And I think what I said all was the truth. I want to show them the most hatred of my people to them. And day, by strong support of our people, I understand how much I'm right. Even, let me tell you one memory that I compared these parliamentarians to two parts. One part I said few Democrat, as I told you, real representative. The second part, most of them warlords, drug lords, criminals, even one of them is Talib in the parliament, a cruel Talib, like Mullah Abdul Salam Rakuti. And I told them, I gave few examples of them during one of my interview, few examples of their crimes that now they are doing under the name of democracy, not only in the past. Because of lack of time, not possible to give you, but later if it was time, I will tell you with more details, more example. Anyway, I said because of these reasons, they made dirty our national house. It's worse than animal stable. It's like zoo. Then I said some examples of useful animal that at least cow give milk, donkey carry the stuff, and some other example. Then they did censor my interview completely, only that part that as a political conspiracy used it against me because they were not happy I will be in parliament. And from the beginning of parliament, they turned off microphone, they beat at me when they threatened me to rape inside of the parliament. And many examples, at least some clips you can see on my webpage. And it was not the first political conspiracy. Still, their political conspiracy continues. From every second, they try to use one of my sentences or what I'm doing against me to change the mind of my people against me. And so many propaganda right now that while I'm in Afghanistan, everywhere they say she's not, and they ban me from media as well because they're afraid the truth. Even they ban me to go out. They took my diplomatic passport. This is ordinary passport underground by burqa traveling to another country. Forgive me, because of security, I cannot give the name of that country. With so many problems, I'm coming here. My supporter who invite me, they know that. Who pay for all of expenses and take care to me. I'm coming here just to bring the message of my people and give me tribute to share our sorrows and problem with you great people in these countries as we need your solidarity. So I think, again, I'm telling you, what this kind of criminal do diplomacy, it means just you deceive yourselves. And for a second, I don't want to make hopeless my people. Maybe some of them think that they made sweet my mouth. Maybe I did compromise with them. As I said to my people, for a second, if I sit silence, you think that this is political debt for me. And as always, I'm saying to great people around the world that I don't fear debt. I fear political silence against injustice. That's the point makers worry. Thank you. You know what? What my people said, my sister, that when I said these warlords like worse than some wild animal, some Afghan even sending me caricatures. They draw the picture of the useful animals to have demonstration against me. They want to bring me to the court because I insulted the useful animal. Then when these warlords said apologize, they told me if I say apologize, I can go back. I said apologize to the useful animal. And I must say that. So, if you were instead of me, what you did? Of course, I expect that you also do like this. Anyway, I said nothing wrong. I just said the truth. And I don't want to cover the truth with golden papers like these, some of these so-called politicians in Afghanistan do. And same like in the beginning of parliament, some of these so-called Democrats telling me, Malala, mix with your speeches, with your talk, some sugar, some honey. It is risky for you. And this kind of advice they were giving me. And my advice is to you is that as much as you can be radical regarding telling the truth is better. Of course, telling the truth everywhere is risky. But in the meantime, it is revolutionary. People stand up with you, as at least my life story is an example. Through the support of these suffer innocent people of my country, I understand how much I'm right. But these politicians who are in power, you know, even two women running for the presidential election, one of them say Taliban is my father, another one say Taliban is my mother. Maybe you hear through media. And most of these women who are in the parliament, they have symbolic role, like peace show, deceiving people around the world. And no need to waste our time about them. For me, not important those who are in power, they support me or not. For me, those who are not in power, that's important, that how much they support.
Thank you. I think we had a question over on that side over there.
Malalejan, Kushamadin, warm Kushamadin to you. You spoke a little bit about the situation in Pakistan. If you can elaborate how the war has expanded into Pakistan, what the situation there is. Thank you.
Situation of Pakistan. You know, Pakistan, let me tell you about Pakistan, Iran, this neighbor countries that first their government has bloody hands and black hand in the history of Afghanistan. Still, they have their own puppets and support them. These warlords, also Taliban, that they are not only puppet of these neighbor countries, also they are other foreign masters, that CIA and etc. But Pakistan, who supported Taliban, created Taliban in the religious school of Pakistan. Nowadays, people of Pakistan, ordinary people, when you ask from taxi drivers, they put the name of these madrasas, Taliban-making factories. I think that if really U.S. government honest for Pakistani people, first of all, close the doors of these Taliban-making factories. And this was the Pakistan government that supported Taliban in their religious school by support of CIA and Saudi Arabistan. They created Taliban to destroy my country. Now, these Taliban, these terrorists become problem for their people. And unfortunately, still I support them. Instead that Obama bombing these border areas, the most poor suffer people, their innocent people, under the name of Taliban killing them. First of all, stop the CIA side that do not support these Taliban. And anyway, no need to waste our time about that, as Pakistani government also not democratic government. And you know, ISI has upper hand, the army and Pakistan government, and they are the one who support these dirty-minded elements. Do dirty business with politics.
Okay, there was a woman in the center that was wanting to ask. Yes.
First of all, I like really thank you and admire Malala for doing such a dangerous job in Middle East. As a woman from Middle East, I really admire her. As you know, for last 30 years, people of Middle East have been sandwiched between two camps of terrorists. One camp is Islamic, you know, like political Islamic, and the other camp is America and their allies. And for the last 30 years, Western media try to brainwash people in the world that people of Middle East, all they care is about their religion, and all the fight over there is about religion, which we know it was a big lie. The war was between power, between political Islamic and America and their allies in Middle East, and about money and oil and everything. And luckily, after 30 years, people of Iran, they give different picture to the world that people for last 30 years were fighting for freedom, equality, and better life. And as we know in Afghanistan, for last 30 years, thousands of people have been died, not just in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in, you know, like, oh, the whole region, Palestine, and etc. And people of those, you know, like, region need the support of people in the West and the whole world to stop this dirty war that USA created during Cold War. And my question to Malala is, I'm sure there are many freedom lovers, as you said, in Afghanistan, and they don't have this safe place in Afghanistan to come to the street and oppose Karzai and, you know, like that camp of terrorists and the other camp, which is Taliban and their group. How, as a people in Canada, we can create this safe environment for the freedom lover people, for women who are fighting for their rights, for the, you know, like journalists and etc. How we can put pressure on the West that to create this, you know, safe environment for people who are in Afghanistan or other part of the region. How we can help? How we can support? I really like to know. Thank you.
Yeah. I thank you, my sister, for your support. As this is the question, the main question always from the audience, from justice-loving people around the world, when I travel sometimes attending conferences, I face. That's why I dedicated one chapter of the book to this question, with more examples, with more details. But briefly, let me tell you, as we said, we need your moral support and also, in the meantime, financial support, means educational support. As always, I'm saying education is a key toward emancipation. These brave women and men in Afghanistan, most of them not educated, they come on the streets, they do demonstration, accept all of these big risks. But if they have education, they play their role much better than today. For the resistance of tomorrow, that day by day getting increased, is important. And That's why as much as you can, you as people, as always I'm saying, power of people is like power of God. You are the one who should join your hands with us. As a famous writer, freedom-loving writer, unfortunately now I do not remember the name, he says that in the world there's two superpowers. One is U.S. government, one is you, mentioned to the people in a big rally against the war in Iraq. And yeah, we can do a lot if we join our hands together. First of all, as a Canadian government, people, you can put pressure on your government. See that today when one of our friend, I think he was Mr. Derek O'Keefe, that we had discussion about that, how Bush is free right now regarding that. He's even traveling as a speaker in another country, and he told me, Malala, even he's coming in Canada. In Canada as a speaker and then receiving $100 million for $100,000 for them.
$100,000, but he's only been coming to Canada.
Yeah, only in Canada, see. Mr. Harper, this criminal Harper, giving money to another criminal. I think that's why we say that when this kind of so-called intellectual, so-called Democrat like Harper, who support these terrorists, this kind of criminal, it is worse than that. Worse than these terrorists. Hope you understood what I mean. Anyway, you are the one who put pressure on your government that at least do not give shelter, do not invite this kind of criminal here, and also stop war in Afghanistan, not stop arming these warlords, and do not support this Karzai's regime. At least this is what you can do. Here, when you do demonstration, nobody will kill you. Nobody kidnap you. Nobody will do many of these violences what they do there in my country. And that's why as much as you can, through different ways, raise your voice with your Democrat politician. As always, I'm saying the silence of good people is worse than the action of bad people. Put pressure on your Democrat politician that to talk the message and put pressure on your government. And through different ways, we should join our hands together. As always, I'm saying, as a famous saying, injustice anywhere is the start of justice everywhere. You know what Brecht is saying? Brecht says, those who do struggle may fail, but those who do not do struggle has already failed. We try our best to bring justice and democracy, not only in Afghanistan, and all over the world. These pictures, let me show them. Here's some picture from this opportunity. I know you have questions. This is the picture of Mullah Rahmatullah Hashimi, a spokesperson of Taliban. He destroyed Buddha's status he defends when Taliban was in power. And right now, he's wearing suit and tie and enjoying in the Yale University, one of the best universities of the U.S. If really Obama and Bush is honest for my people, why do not put these kind of dirty-minded elements from the universities like Nuriga in the jail? And here, some other report, I passed these pictures to you and pictures of these victims that you can see to know better about role of your government, first of all, in Afghanistan.
There was a question over here from that man over there.
Thanks for your talk. My question is about Taliban. They are displaying a big resistance against NATO and Canada and all of that, 8 years of resistance. Now, I want to know how Taliban is doing that. Where is money coming from? Where do they get their weapons? We know that during the Russian occupation, U.S. and Saudi Arabia, they defeated Russians, and they defeated Taliban and the other resistance in Afghanistan. So Saudi was a big part of that defeat of Russians.
Yeah.
So now this time, do you see Saudis and possibly Taliban in Pakistan and all the whole region, Yemen, Egypt, all these people in that region, are they supporting Taliban from money point of view? Are they feeding? Where is the weapon coming from for Taliban? And I want to ask you, the second question is, what would be your estimation about the population that supports Taliban in that region? What is that number? How many million of people they are supporting Taliban in that region? In Yemen, Egypt, Saudi, Pakistan, and Afghanistan.
Yeah. Thanks for your support. Forgive me if I answer. I'm trying my best to answer briefly because some other questions also supporters will have because of lack of time. You mentioned Taliban big resistance. Let me tell you that the Taliban is not the big resistance. Here in Afghanistan, we have two kinds of resistance. One is real resistance from the ordinary people, from the democratic-minded people, justice-loving people together, that day by day increasing. And one is reactionary resistance from these dirty-minded elements that has been created by Taliban, by U.S. government, mainly CIA, this Taliban, and religious school of Pakistan by ISI, and Saudi Arabistan, etc. And their domination also destroyed by their foreign masters. And still they are supporting them, and these neighbor countries you mentioned as well that support them. No question from this situation, they also try to misuse as well to deceive some of my people that in the name of that we are fighting against occupation, etc. But this is one point that I wanted to make clear between the word of resistance. As the spokesperson of Taliban, even they put even they put the name of these dirty-minded elements, so-called resistance, political movement, people movement. Well, and I think they are just spokespersons, the mental of the Taliban. And they are more risky, this kind of so-called democrat, more risky than Taliban, deceiving people around the world. Anyway, there is, and also you said who support Taliban. I think I answered. That's why always I'm saying they play the game of Tom and Jerry with these terrorists. If they want, they can't make them powerless, but they keep support and keep in power this bunch of killers. They are just full of shame in the history of my country because they need them for their occupation. Yeah, people do not support them. Your second question, sorry. People do not support them. As I told you, that few people who go with Taliban, that as I told you, some of them, even I have appointment, that's why the role of democratic-minded people of my country is a lot, intellectuals, that they are the one to be more active as they are underground active, that do not let them to go with the Taliban. As some of them calling me, they say, Malala, nobody listen our voice. There is no justice. We go with Taliban to take our revenge from the warlord and occupation forces. Then I tell them that, no, it's not good to go with one terrorist to fight against another one. Anyway, yeah, different.
So there was a question from this lady over here. Yeah.
I'm interested in the background of Hamid Karzai, how he came to power. I understand he used to work for Unocal Oil. I'd like to know if he was born and raised in Afghanistan, who he became connected with, and how he came to power. And my second question is about the attempts on your life. If you could maybe give a description, that would be interesting.
About Hamid Karzai, I think this 8 years is enough to know better about him, that first of all, he is an expert puppet, not only puppet of one country, 40 more countries, as nowadays my people call him the third Shashija. Shashija, one of my Afghan, if helped me that when British want to occupy my country, Shashija was puppet of British. Then when Russia came in power to leader of these Khalkis and Parchemi, to these puppets, they called to Babrak Karmal, Budne. To Babrak Karmal, they called second Shashija, puppet of Russia. And now for Hamid Karzai, my people call him the third Shashija. What briefly I told you, the 30 years war in Afghanistan. As he support the leaders of this 30 period war in Afghanistan. And that's why his government is very weak. But his background of course, that that he worked with pipeline as well with Khalilzad in the past, and also he worked in the foreign minister of Taliban in the period of Taliban, and he escaped from Afghanistan, and suddenly after 9/11, during the conference of Bonn, they brought him in power. In the name of that, he do not have blood hands because he was not known among my people, and that's why that when he came in power and for the first presidential election, he deceived my people, as my millions of Afghans, they attended the election. They thought maybe Karzai is better than these warlords because he promised, I never do compromise with these warlords if you voted me, directly and indirectly said to people in front of them as well, and also through media. But when he went, again betrayed the vote of my people, did more compromise with these killers, with these looters, with these puppets, and now invite Gulbuddin and Mullah Omar as well to join the government. I think no need to waste our time about him. In my book, with more details, you know better about this shameless puppet man.
Reiterate that Karzai was in 94 to 96, he was a Pashtun minor tribal leader, but he was supporting the Taliban for those 2 years. And just important to reemphasize that Karzai's brother is the most powerful man in Kandahar province. And New York Times just reported 2 weeks ago, that these past 8 years he's been regularly receiving payments from the CIA. And again, unnamed officials from within the U.S. administration admitting that Karzai's brother, this man that Canadian troops are protecting and killing and dying for in Kandahar, has been linked to drug trafficking. He's profiting from the drug trade. He's really the kingpin of the opium trade in that region. So that's a little bit about the broader Karzai family.
Yeah. Second part of your question, only a few sentences. I think that if you want, you can see my webpage as well. Because of lack of time, how I'm alive, how is my security? And one of you ask, how is my security? I'm now changing houses in Kabul, safe house to safe houses, underground activists. Despite burqa and bodyguard rescue, more death threats I'm receiving. But the reason I'm alive because of the strong support of these people, my suffer people who I'm changing the houses, they are not my relative. My family living in the west of Afghanistan, and even I cannot live with them. Anyway, while we are in Afghanistan, many propaganda that she's not in Afghanistan and etc. I think these are, all of these propaganda is their political weakness. Yeah.
Okay, there was a question from that man over there, right there, the longer hair.
I wanted to bring to question and critique the choice of forum and why, with all the speaking of the education and intellect and such, why we've chosen the forum of a church. Is it a logistic thing or a critical and conceptual thought? And why is this not hosted in a university or something other different public forum less burdened by history?
Church, you mean that why I choose the church to come here? Yeah, I think before our organizer answered that, let me tell you that, you know, everywhere I'm going, that I told you I need tribune. Even some of these so-called Democrat Afghan, they criticize why Malala is coming, have a speech in the church. Same like these so-called Democrat, they criticize me, Malala, why the left party is mainly invite you usually to attend in the conferences. I said, why you are not asking from the right wing parties? I need tribune. And I'm coming, same I'm going in Afghanistan in the mosque. I made a speech for my people. Even there I talk about secularism to my people. While in Afghanistan, when you talk about secularism, they accuse you as blasphemy. They kill you, they hang you. Same like fascist regime of Iran. We have same enemies, same sorrow, same problem. How U.S. government is hypocrite, fundamentalists of Iran is enemies of the U.S., fundamentalists of Afghanistan is friend of the U.S. Secondly, both, they mix Islam with politics as a weapon, use it against my people, especially women. I went in the mosque, I explained to my people the meaning and value of the secularism. As Again, I'm telling, when politics will be separate from the religion, even any fundamentalists to be in power, they are not able to continue to their fascism under the name of Islam. While problem of Muslim people and religion people is not with religious at law at all, same like my country as a Muslim country, most population is Muslim. Our problem is with Islam of Osama bin Laden, Sayyaf, Rabbani, Kanuni, Dostum, Ismail Khan, Muhakkik, Gulabzoi, Ulumi, Rakiti, etc. That Islam is good weapon in their hands and use it against my people. And also their foreign masters support them. And same, in charge, no matter, we need tribune everywhere we go. Even in the church, I condemn those people, those religious, who misuse religious against the nation, against their people.
So we're going to just take a couple of more questions, and then we're going to have the book signing. That woman over there.
Thank you so much, Malala, for coming and speaking to all of us and letting us know what the truth is. And so I really appreciate that. And I thank you, and I thank everybody for coming out. But my question to you, I'm an Afghan, so I know a little bit about my people and our culture and, you know, yeah, the history, yeah, knowing that Afghanistan never ever experienced democracy before, you know, the invasion. I mean, they were a monarchy, and then during the civil war, they were anarchy pretty much. So if we pull out the troops and you say, you know, no people, like no Americans, no Canadians, nobody there, how would you deliver, or what is your, in your opinion, how would you deliver democracy to such a people? You know, the Afghani people, who only 10% of them are educated, and most of them will follow the, you know, warlords, because, I mean, we've experienced that. We've seen, you know, the Afghani people listening to the mullahs, to the religious leaders. They listen and they follow everything that's being told. So how would you say that if we pull out the troops, that we're gonna experience, you know, democracy under, you know, these religious, you know, fanatics pretty much?
Yeah, I think, let me tell you first this sentence that our problem of my people is not with democracy at all. Same I said, our problem is not with Islam at all. Elementary meaning of democracy is government of people for people. Enemies of the people under the name of democracy, and enemies of democracy are in power with the mask of democracy and betraying these values. Democracy, women rights, human rights, and these fundamentalists with the mask of democracy who are in power, and so-called Democrat who are in power here talking about secularism, they are talking about Islam, and they are in power, and they مخشوش میساز افکار مردم ما را چی میگم. They may confuse the mind of the people around the world that I don't know Islamic democracy and a Western democracy. These are all just propaganda. As I said, we don't have problem with democracy. The problem is the democracy of Bush, so-called democracy of Bush, that bring this criminal and betray democracy, give bad view about democracy to my people. You said less than 10% people not educated, but many times, this millions of Afghans that you mentioned, they are not educated. They many times they showed their love to democracy. That people, millions of Afghans did not attend in the election. It is example of democracy. They come on the streets, they do demonstration. These are steps of democracy. When I'm going in the mosque, I have a speech. I recorded that speech. We have document. There was huge mosque. Even outside, people with loudspeaker, they were listening my speech. When I explained to them the meaning of democracy, they clipped. But the problem is, it is true that this 30-year war, we almost lost everything. But we gain one positive thing, which is political knowledge of the people. And they understood that those who are in power, they are shame for Islam, they are shame for democracy as well. Because they betrayed this word. And these people that, when democratic-minded people, justice-loving people come in power, slowly, slowly democracy come in Afghanistan. And then these people know more the value of the democracy. In the meantime, as I told you, practically they showed many times their life to democracy. More example I have, but later if you want, I can give you. For example, these warlords, they are saying, two women is equal to one man. They insult women in many ways that they misuse Islam against them. I was very young, 25 years old, when I stand up in Loy Jirga, just as a social activist, not political activist, situation is political, that we, even children of Afghanistan, even the stone of Afghanistan could speak, they could do politics. Same today, the cats of Afghanistan even laughing on this non-democratic, tragic drama of so-called free election. So that, yeah, I want to tell you that people, many times, they showed their love to democracy. It's through male domination society, but Democrat come in power situation, this male domination will improve. Same these people, many times, when they expel me from parliament, from different provinces, they come out and they did demonstration in Afghanistan. These are a step of democracy. And many like that, and in the meantime, they show that they don't think that this is young, this is woman, or who, how much she has education. But they support, even nowadays they are asking to make party and I don't know, run for presidential election, etc. They want through their support to me as a person to show their hatred to these criminals, to these warlords and their foreign masters and also Taliban. And your question that democracy, how come, I'm telling you, if democratic-minded people come in power, and you said the troops leave Afghanistan. You know, mainstream media, still they do brainwash in the mind of great people of these countries. If troops leave Afghanistan, civil war will happen. How about today's civil war? Today's selfish civil war, as long as these troops be in Afghanistan, the worst civil war will be in Afghanistan. Again, I'm telling you that as long as these warlords in power, no hope to come positive changes in the life of the men and women of my country, and they are getting more support from their foreign master, they must be powerless, and our people hate them. Today, Karzai's regime is a good example how much weak. If U.S. and NATO, including Canada government, do not leave voluntarily Afghanistan, I'm sure with the passage of time, they will face more with the resistance of my people. As always, I'm saying you are able to eliminate me as a person. With all of my body, I can understand all of these risks. Even I saw the death with my eyes, but I'm alive. But I told them, one day you kill me like you killed many other Democrats and still you continue to your fascism. But you never can make silence this voice. Never you can hide the truth. Even not superpower able to hide the truth. One day I'm sure I trust my people. I believe in the history of my country and I believe in democracy, women rights, human rights. There's not a bunch of beautiful flowers someone gift us. As always, some of Afghan, they criticize me. Malala, if the troops out of Afghanistan, Taliban will eat us. I said, how about today? That Taliban also eat us. And indirectly, indirectly, they get support of their foreign master, and their foreign master also doing bombing and killing civilians, eat my people. At least one enemy get less. Then if they let us a little bit breathe in peace, then we know what to do with our destiny. Even some of these Afghans who enjoy their life here, you know, they criticize me and they want to show to you, put dust on your eyes is that Malala is not right and many propaganda here, she want to be fame, etc. I told them, and again I'm telling you through you, great Afghan, if and everything in Afghanistan is okay, let's come on, go with me or there. Why you are here and you want to finally bring democracy for you?
Okay. Before we go into our last question, I just like to announce that the donation buckets, in total, we collected $8,000. So thank you very, very much for your generosity. One more question. Okay, so we have time for one final question. The woman standing over there.
Because of lack of time, I'm sorry. I have email address. If any question you had, just feel free and ask your question. Yeah.
I'll be brief. First of all, I'd like to very much thank you for being here and speaking to us all tonight. My name is Janine Solanki, and I am the co-chair of the Vancouver Anti-War Coalition Mobilization Against War and Occupation. As many people know, the government of Canada has extended their very brutal war drive in Afghanistan many times now, the latest extension to the end of 2011. But again, the government of Canada is bringing up new ways of extending their war drive and their plundering of Afghanistan. And what they are saying now, what the government of Canada is saying, is that they will have humanitarian assistance troops in Afghanistan after 2011, after the supposed withdrawal date of Canadian troops from Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And so as they are saying this to confuse people in Canada and put a new name on saying, a new name on denying the people of Afghanistan of their self-determination, what is your message to people in Canada who are hearing these kind of excuses from the government of Canada? Thank you.
You want to first answer?
Yeah, and then I'll let Malalai wrap up.
Yeah.
Yeah, just obviously a big part of this evening and organizing Malalai's tour was to give a boost to the anti-war movement in Canada. And I've recently become co-chair of the Canadian Peace Alliance, but been involved with the steering committee for many years. And StopWar.ca is part of this cross-Canada network. And we're very fortunate. This is the first stop for Malalai in Canada. We have a two-week tour, and we have an appropriate end point. We're going on to Ottawa with Malalai, so we want to deliver a very, very strong message in Ottawa to end the war now. I think Malalai said, 2011, the end of 2011, and our government is giving itself the wiggle room to extend even further, is much, much too late. We want to end, I think Malalai was saying, tomorrow, today, or yesterday would be ideal, and that's what we're working towards, and we hope tonight you'll be motivated to join us in this effort. And I'll just end with a plug. There are postcards from the Canadian Peace Alliance that we're hoping to collect hundreds at each of her events as she goes across the country, so that when she gets to Ottawa, they'll have been inundated by the mail for what that's worth. But we also hope this speaking tour will lead to renewed public protests right across the country going into the winter and fall, and we want to bring the troops home well before 2011, and we can do it with the help of everyone in this room. So we'll let Malalai have the last word. Thank you.
Let me add a few sentences to the question of our supporter, who says that regarding Canadian government who do humanitarian job, so-called humanitarian job, let me say that. It's true in some big cities they may build some schools that they wasted lots of money, millions of dollars, as I told you, $36 billion the government of Hamid Karzai received. If good people, not corrupt people, come in power, peace-loving people, justice-loving people, while we have a lot, if they give them chance, they had honorable job. Two times Afghanistan was rebuilt. First, no need to be any troops in Afghanistan today. No need to be any NGO lord in Afghanistan. Most of these NGOs corrupt. My people put the name of these NGOs, Afghan and foreign NGO, most of them, like warlord, NGO lord. And some project that they have, through mainstream media, they try to make show it as much as big to you first. Secondly, for example, in Kandahar, your government has troops. 15 guys, when going to school, they threw acids on their faces. Tomorrow, how they dare to send their guys more to school? Hundreds of doors of schools has been closed because of security. Even in Kabul, not security, UN office has been attacked. Serena Hotel, the best and safest hotel in Kabul, that always these so-called politicians from outside Western are coming, and also in Afghanistan, they enjoy their life there. And hundreds of girls in the north of Afghanistan, media give report, they become poisoned when they go to school. From the hospital, their family bring them back. Rape cases are historical. 14-year-old Shugufa was the only daughter of a widow in Kabul. On January, for 25 days, she was kidnapped. After 25 days, her suffer mom find her ravaged body on the garbage heap of the Kabul. And many examples like this, your government not giving. And made through mainstream media, some school they built, while this privatization is another new enemy of my people. Some private schools, they make a university, best teachers going there, but because of good salary and the level of education, some schools they build is very low. For months, they are not giving the salary of the student, teachers. Under the 10th and faraway provinces, they are studying. When the mainstream media coming in Kabul with some so-called Democrat politician of Afghanistan and these ministers of this mafia corrupt system do interview, then here coming put the name public opinion, which is so ridiculous and a big lie. Anyway, which is open secret today. I think only the situation of the woman is enough better to know about the wrong policy of your government. Secondly, drag. Taliban, medieval-minded terrorist Taliban, almost destroyed opium, but a superpower country with 40 more countries not able to destroy opium. It is unbelievable. That's why my people make ridicule us, and they believe day by day they occupied our country and support these germs, these cancer in my country because of their own strategic, regional, and economic interests. I wish today I had another button like that. Here, U.S. must leave Afghanistan now. And I wish that another one I had to put it here for Canada. We don't need to be for 2 years more to betray more my people. Because the event has been finished, let me conclude today's event with the quote of freedom-loving, justice-loving man like Martin Luther King, this extraordinary man who inspires a lot. He says that our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. Freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. Join your hands with us, and at the end, long live international solidarity. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm speechless how to thank. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so first of all, we'd like to thank Malalai Joya for her unyielding commitment to the cause of peace and justice and for sharing her words of wisdom. And we're extremely confident that her autobiography will inspire many to work for an end to the foreign military occupation of Afghanistan.